Welcome back to the Down the Rabbit Hole podcast. Sometimes you hear the same idea from three completely different places, or more, or less, completely different places in a very short span of time, and it hits you. And the idea that I'm going to share, I don't think it's a particularly controversial idea. I don't know whether it's always true. I don't think it's always true. And I think that if we look around at the world around us, if we're going to try to test this idea empirically, it doesn't always work as well as we'd like it to. But there's definitely something there. And it definitely does say something very profound about how we behave as Jews and how we're perceived as Jews. It holds up a very important mirror. So I'm going to share, and the entire podcast, the entire episode will be sharing these three instances where I heard this similar idea in different forms. So the first one that I heard, or that I saw, was Shabbos Sachar. I was learning, I pulled off my shelf Ksav Sofer ala Torah, and I was learning through what the Ksav Sofer says on Megillas Esther. And the Ksav Sofer quotes a Gemara and then addresses the Gemara. The Gemara is in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and it darshins Haman's speech to Ahasuerus, the first speech that Haman makes to Ahasuerus. If you look in the Megillah, Haman doesn't have very many speaking parts. He speaks out loud really just a few times, right? When he's speaking to the king after the king can't sleep, when he first proposes his plan to Haman, and he has a few speeches, there's a speech that he makes to his wife and his friends. But mostly we hear paraphrases of what Haman says. We don't really have Vayomer Haman, this is what Haman says. But here is the first case that we have Haman speaking. In the third parak of the Megillah, Yeshno Am Echad, very, very famous speech. Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar Umforad, Bein Ha'amim, Bechol Medinos Malchusecha, V'daseihem Shonos Mikol Am, V'es Dasei HaMelech Einam Osim, V'laMelech Ein Shovel LaHanicham. This is Haman's case of why we have to get rid of this peculiar people, right? We know he's talking about the Jews. He doesn't say that the Ahasuerus, the Jews, are not mentioned. He just says, Yeshno Am Echad, there is this people. So the Gemara sort of parses Haman's speech. And it starts like this, Omar Rava. Now, here's an interesting point. A lot of the best stuff, a lot of the sharpest critique and commentary that you have in Maseches Megillah is from Rava. Think about, you know, the things that that you remember from the Midrashim in the Gemara, on the Megillah, about even things like, you know, why don't we say Hallel? Because Akatia Avde Achashverosh Anan. We're still subjects of Achashverosh, slaves to Achashverosh. The idea that Chayav Inish, the Halacha, Chayav Inish Levesume Bepuria Adelo Yada Ben Oror Haman Lebaruch Mordechai, it's Rava. Omar Rava, and so forth. The idea that Nehenumi Sudasol shall also Rasha, Rava. Here, it's again Rava. Rava, who lived in the capital city of an Iranian empire, which I think is important to bear in mind. Rava, and Yaakov Ellman has done work on this, and has written on this. Rava's life placed him in Rava's biography enabled him to appreciate the story of Haman and the story of Mordechai and Esther to a degree that a lot of others weren't, right? Meaning that he was in the place of intrigue. He was in the capital city, Ctesiphon of the Sasanian Empire. So he has a lot of amazing insight into the Megillah. So what does he say here? What does Rava say? Amar Rava, Leka diyada lishna bisha kahaman. Nobody knew Lashon Hara like Haman. Haman was an expert at Lashon Hara, meaning Haman knew how to spin it. Haman knew how to tell the story, how to demonize the Jews. What did he say to Ahasuerus? Amar le tadnichlenu. If he would go to Ahasuerus and say, let's destroy them, Amar le mistafinu me'elohaihu. I'm afraid of their God. Delo la'abed bi k'da'aved b'kamai. I don't want their God to do to me what he did to my predecessors, right? The Ahasuerus is saying, we know that, it didn't end well for rulers who opposed the God of the Hebrews. So Amar le, so Haman says back to him, Yoshnu min ha-mitzvos, right? The Yeshno Am Echad, he reads as Yoshnu Am Echad. They fell asleep. They're sleeping. They fell asleep of the from the mitzvos. Right? They're no longer observant. And this, by the way, maybe for another time, there's this great Chidushei Harim in Parshas Chayei Sara that talks about, that connects Rabbi Akiva and Esther and Sara Imenu, and it talks about how everybody was sleeping and Rabbi Akiva bikesh la'oriran. He wanted to wake everybody up, and so he said, why did Esther think that she could control 127 provinces? Because she saw that Sarah lives 127 years. And it's the approach of the Chiddushei Arim and the Sfas Emes after him is built on this idea of Yeshenim, right? That they were sleeping, that sleeping doesn't always just mean sleeping. Like here you have Yashnu Min HaMitzvos, right? Also in context of Megillas Esther, Yashnu Min HaMitzvos, they fell asleep. Amarle, he said to him, Ahasuerus says back to Haman, Isbahu Rabbanon, they have rabbis. Amarle, Am Echodhem. They're one people, meaning you can't say that there's good guys and bad guys. They're all responsible for one another. So Yashnu, Am Echad, right? You look at the totality, you don't look at the individuals. Shema Tomar. Maybe you'll say, Karcha ani Yosef u'malchusecha, I'm going to create a bald spot in your kingdom. Meaning if I go and I get rid of the Jews, then there's going to be an entirely depopulated area. It's going to be unproductive. What's going to happen? So Haman's answer to that is mifuzarin hem beino amim. So yeshna amechad mifuzaru mifurad beino amim. Right? You're not going to have. There's not going to be any bald spots. There's not going to be any areas that are unproductive because they're distributed. They're all over the place. So it won't have that much of an effect. They're a minority everywhere. It won't have an effect if you get rid of them all. Shema tomar, if you say. Is Hanominayu. I stand to gain from them. So for that he says Miforad. It's Miforad, which he says Kifreda, like a mule, Sheino Oseperos, right? Which can't have offspring. You want to think the Jews are sterile. They are not productive. Vishematomar Ikamedintaminayu. And if you say that, no, they have a law, they have their own province. Talmud Lomar b'chol medinos malchusecha. No, they're everywhere. Not sure what the difference is between that one and the Mefuzar. Next one, he says v'dasehem shonos mikol am. Their laws are different. Delo achli minan velo nasli minan. They don't eat our food. They don't marry with us, lo min sevelan, right? But not, they don't allow us to marry into them. They don't marry amongst us. V'ezdasei and they don't do the king's. They don't follow the king's law. Why? Demakbi lechula shaha b'shahi pihe. Right. All the time, they're getting out of work. Dasei amelach enamosim. They don't. They shirk their responsibilities. With Shahe Pihe, right? Which, according to my brother-in-law, the Talmud professor, Shai Secunda, this is just like a regular, it's a throwaway line. They make excuses. Shai P.A. It's been understood by Chazal to be a Roshei Tevos, Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. It's like, oh, I can't do that today. Today is Shabbos. Oh, I can't do that today. Today is Yontif. I can't get any work done. So Velamelech ain't Shovel Lahanicham. It's not worthwhile for the king to keep them around. Why the achlu v'shasu, and this is back to the Gemara, the achlu v'shasu mevazalei l'marka. They eat and they drink and they hold the king in contempt. They ridicule the king. V'afilu nofel zavuv b'kosel shel echad mehem. If a fly falls into one of their cups, zarko v'shosehu. They toss the fly and they keep drinking. V'im adoni ha-melech nogea b'kosel shel echad mehem. If the king touches their cup. Chov tov karka ve'eno shosehu. They throw it into the ground, they smash it on the ground, and they don't drink it. That's what the Gemara says. Asks the Ksav Sofer. Yesh lehakshos. You have a kasha. You can ask. Hischil. The beginning of Haman's speech is ki enam shomrim dasan. They don't keep their own laws. Yashnu mena mitzvos. They fell asleep from the mitzvos. They don't keep their own mitzvos. Echam aracharkach delo achlu midilan delo mintzva ve'enam shomrim dasan. And they throw away the wine. So which is it? If they're not really very observant, if they've neglected their mitzvos, then you can't turn around and say, oh, they don't drink our wine. Oh, they don't intermarry. Oh, if you touch their wine, they're not going to, oh, they're taking off. They're shirking their responsibilities by saying that today is Shabbos, today is Yontif. But I thought you said they're not observant. If they're observant, then you don't have the first claim. If they're not observant, then you don't have the later claims. The claims that Haman's making are self-contradictory. Now, it's possible to say, okay, fine. So nobody ever accused the world's greatest anti-Semitic Semites of being super consistent. Whatever, you know, whatever bad thing you can say about the Jews, you'll find an audience for it. That's not what the Ksav Sofer says. Ksav Sofer goes in a different direction. He says, nearly. Ki bevadai lo yichas lehamelech v'lo l'sara v'hamon am im ha-Yisraelim mu'arim mufradim migayim ve'ein ochel mishalahem ve'lo mintzvu mehem ve'gamim eino osem alacha b'shabbos v'yom tov v'chidoma ki yodim u'mevinim she'ein ze mishum she'moiz b'ma'acholam u'mishtam ode eino rota lasos avdus ha'melech rak mishum she'shomer daso. Saying, look, everybody realizes that when you have people that are faithful, it means that they're going to have different laws. It means that there are certain days that they're not going to be able to do certain things. It means that there are certain foods that they're not going to be allowed to eat. It means that there are people that they're not going to be allowed to marry. And that doesn't, but people understand that. It's not going to be a cause for hatred. The Ksav Sofer continues, the Adarabba, on the contrary, humachubud be'enehem. They honor that. They respect that. Betuach libambo, and they are confident, kimasav bli remia, that all their actions are without fraudulence, are without any sort of subtext. Benoach lamelech baze, and it's good for the king. Ve'eno rotze beherus hadas chas v'shalom. The king actually doesn't want religion to be. He wants people to be observant. He wants people to have. To be part of religious communities. Okay, now it's important to realize, like, who, when the Ksav Sofer is thinking about a king, who's he thinking about? Who is the king for the vast majority of the Ksav Sofer's adult life? It was none other than Franz Josef. And what he just described here is very much a part of Franz Josef's views. Franz Josef he encouraged Catholicism, he encouraged traditional Judaism. In fact, it was non-traditional Judaism that gave him more concern, that he was more concerned about, right? Especially after 1848, when a lot of more liberal rabbis actually joined with the Hungarian Revolution and the various other revolutions in the Spring of Nations. The more liberal people were politically, the more liberal they were religiously, the more instability they caused in his empire. And people like the Ksav Sofer and Rabbi Yehuda Asad, Maram Shik, these were people who were much more on board with the king's more traditionalist conservative program. But here's what the Ksav Sofer continues. Yan ki lo shomrim ha-Torah, va'achlu im ha-goyim, u'kimo va'asu kima aseihem, u'v'chol makom rosh av ha-sarim, hayu yehudim b'neihem. But if the Jew, if that's not the approach taken by the Jews, if they're not observant, they don't keep the Torah, and they go and they have meals, they hang out with non-Jews, and they drink with non-Jews, and they act like non-Jews, they're not particularly observant, they don't, there is no Yesh Noam Echad, there is no, they do what other people's are, what other people are doing, v'ratzulios b'shovi imahem, and they want equality, zeh hevi haman lehiskanos b'hem ulahashimam etzal ha-melech, that's what caused Haman to become jealous of them, and to bring these accusations to the king. As long as the Jews are saying are staying separate and are staying observant, nobody's going to have a problem with them. It's only when they come along and they say, oh, we want to be like everybody else, and they want to change, right? They're not observant, and they want to be just like everybody else. That's when Haman becomes jealous. And he comes with claims that are actually, that the king can appreciate. And that's how he explains the rest of the thing. He says, Yashnu min ha-mitzvos, listen, these guys, they're not really very observant, right? They just want to be like everybody else. They want to, you know, they drink like we drink. They eat what we eat. What are the only things that they're really observant about? Are the things that hold us in contempt, are the things that show their contempt for us, right? If you're not very frum, but you say, I can't work today, it's Shabbos, then it's kind of obvious that you're not doing this because of Shabbos. You're doing this just to, you know, to get out of your responsibility. If you say, like, I'll drink whatever and I'll eat whatever, but a wine that you pour for me, you're like, no, no, I can't drink your wine. Then it's just a show of disrespect. It's nothing to do with religion. In fact, the Ksav Sofer goes on to say that, you know, it's based on this Gemara that the Rush says that a fly is not, there's no concern about plitos. If something falls into wine, we're not concerned that some of the flavor got absorbed into the wine. Because how could you throw away the fly and then continue drinking? So the Ksav Sofer says, yeah, that's the point. They aren't so frum. So if he says, Lulei Dvarav, if not for what the Rush says, Yishlomar Adarab, Raya Ditzonein Mavlit. Because it's only a bizoy, it's in bizoy lamelech ulashum adam. It's not disrespect to a king, and it's not disrespect to anyone. She'en shosin mi maga'o, ki'eno mo'es ro'brak rosh, rak taso v'chuko kahu. If you say, like, listen, I can't drink the wine because my religion prohibits it, people respect that. But the point is that if it's applied selectively, and it's only applied in a way that you're showing contempt, that you're showing disrespect, then the message of Haman will resonate. That's what the Ksav Sofer says. Now, there's a lot to... This is an old... It's an old trope about anti-Semitism, especially within the frum world, that anti-Semitism begins not when Jews are minding their own business. Anti-Semitism begins specifically when Jews don't mind their own business, right? When they want to be like everybody else, right? When we don't make Kiddush, they make Havdalah. That's one of the tropes that I grew up with. But I think he's saying something beyond that. He's saying that maybe it's possible that, you know, you'll be able to assimilate, right? There are successful assimilations, but he's saying, but then it's what really gets them is when you use your religion as a front, as a facade to get what you want. Oh, you don't want to work today? Oh, sorry. Yeah, my religion prohibits me from working today, or whatever the case may be. That's the Ksav Sofer. That's the idea that came up in the Ksav Sofer. And then I saw it again in Daf Yomi. Yes, I'm a Daf Yomi Jew. I give Daf Yomi Shir several times a week. And there's this interesting thing in the case. The Gemara talks about Tzar Bali Chayim Mida Oraisa or Mida Rabbanan. And it's trying to prove from various sources that Tzar Bali Chayim is either Tzar Bali Chayim is a deoraisa, is a biblical precept, that the Torah itself is concerned about animal, about pain to animals, about animal welfare. And the other view is that no, it's not. It's the rabbis who instituted it. One of the cases that it brings, right? So it talks about it in through the lens of two mitzvos, the mitzvah of prika and te'ina, right? Or specifically of prika, right? Te'ina means that you have to help somebody unload an animal, and te'ina means, and prika means you have to help someone unload an animal. Te'ina means you have to help someone load up an animal. Tzar Balei Chaim obviously comes into play when you're talking about unloading an animal, right? An animal is overburdened; it's collapsing under the weight of its burden. You have to help somebody. You have to help somebody unload the animal, not just because it's a nice thing to do to help people, like in the case of Te'ina, but because we're concerned with the welfare of the animal. That would be the Tzar Balei Chaim Deoraisa position. So the Gemara quotes a source, quotes a brisa, that says that when it comes to, that seems to imply that Tzar Balei Chaim is not Deoraisa. Why? Because it says that if there's an animal that's overburdened and you want to unload it, but it turns out that that animal is carrying yayin nesech. It's carrying Gentile wine, which is aser midoraisa. Well, the first, let's take a step back. First, the brisa says that you have to help non-Jews load and unload their animals as well. And so the Gemara says, well, that seems to imply Tzar Balei Chaim is midoraisa, because if it's all about animal welfare, what difference does it make whether the owner is a Jew or the owner is not a Jew? And then the Gemara answers, says, no, you can still say it's midorabanan and say that the reason here is because you don't want to increase enmity, mishum eva. And then it says teda, and it says this is actually reinforced by the next part of the brisa, which says that if you're unloading the animal and it happens to be that you have a mitzvah to unload an animal, even if it's a not with an animal owned by a non-Jew, you have a mitzvah to unload it, but then it gives an exception unless it's carrying yayin nesech. If it's carrying yayin nesech, you don't have to unload it, right? Which seems to imply now that Tzar Balei Chaim is not midoraisa, because if it was midoraisa, again, what difference does it make that it's yayin nesech? You're still doing a, you know, it's you still have to relieve the animal. So it says, so e amris lav d'oraisa, the Gemara says, if you say that it's fine, it works out well, if you hold that Tzar Balei Chaim is not d'oraisa, and that the reason that you don't have to help unload an animal, that you do have to help unload an animal, is because of Eva, because you don't want to increase enmity. Rashi says, mishum hachi ein zakuk la. This is why, when it comes to a case of yayin nesach, you don't have to help. Why? Sheacholi hishamet, he can get out of it. Velomar, davar isuhu lanu, this is something that's prohibited to us. Right? So it's kind of jarring. It's saying that if you see a non-Jew and who's with an animal and the animal is collapsing under its weight, you have to go help him because you don't want to increase enmity. But if you say, I'm sorry, I can't help you because the item that you're unloading is something that I'm not allowed to handle, it will not increase Ava. They would respect it because you say, it's not that I'm being a jerk. It's not that I just don't want to help, right? It's that I don't want to. It's not because I think of you as being lesser. It's that I want to help. I want to help, but I can't because this is something that's forbidden to us. The Ritva also over there says something very similar. Mishum Eva Leka. There's no Eva in this case. V'afilu b'schar. Even if he says you don't have to pay me, diachol lomar asu lanu l'kayim yayin nesach. We're not allowed to handle, or we're not allowed to possess yayin nesach. So it's a very similar idea, right? That we're concerned about Eva, we're concerned about doing things that are going to increase enmity between Jews and Gentiles, but the Gemara, at least according to the way the Rishonim understand it, the Gemara is not concerned about increasing enmity if it's something that's a bona fide prohibition. Say, even a prohibition that has to do with non-Jews and their wine, right? Say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can't carry this barrel for you because I'm not allowed to handle that substance. It's forbidden to me. And that's not going to increase enmity. So you have this very similar idea that when it comes to, I don't know if you would want to call it respect, or you want to call it, I would say respect. When it comes to the respect of our religion, there's a lot of, as long as we're showing that, you know, this is something that we do, this is a precept that we hold dear, and this is something that we're not allowed to do, that's respected. And the third place that I heard this was in a hesped. And there's a good chance you know where I'm going with this already. A hesped for the late Senator Joe Lieberman. And I think we can say Zecher Tzadik Livracha, because if you heard of the hespedim, you would see that, yeah, they called him Yosef HaTzadik, and it wasn't just because it was playing on his name, the fact that his name was Yosef and Joseph, and it wasn't just because, like the biblical Joseph, he was a Jew within a larger court, within a large, you know, was a, who achieved political heights, but because at the end of the day, he did embody that certain tzidkus. And I encourage everybody to watch and listen to the Hespedim, and I'll post a link in the show's notes, along with some of the other sources that we were talking about today. His stepson, Rabbi Ethan Tucker, spoke about this in his hesped. He spoke about the fact that it was not, part of the reason, and I'm paraphrasing here, but part of the reason, part of his ability, right? I'll read exactly what he said, because he posted it on Facebook as well. His integrity was not a blinding light, but a magnetic field, drawing in fellow travelers and inviting even adversaries for dialogue and compromise. Thank you for reminding us that our deepest convictions can be the most important planks of bridge building, and that the pegs of our integrity are the only thing strong enough to anchor the tents of broad communities our world so desperately needs. And I think that what Rabbi Tucker is saying here is very much of a piece, meaning I don't think that Rabbi Tucker would say it the same way that the Ksav Sofer says it. But I think that, and he's formulating it much more in the positive, right? That it's specifically those who are inside and out, people of conviction, people of faith, so thoroughly that they're the ones who command respect when they say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't do that for you. There are limits. There are red lines, right? I can't go on the campaign trail after sundown on Friday because it's Shabbos. And I'm not going to be going to the next thing because it's Shabbos. And I'm going to have to get, if in order to get there, I'm going to have to walk. And sometimes he did walk, whatever it was, 5 miles longer. And sometimes the stories go, Al Gore would have, who wanted to discuss things with him would walk with him on Shabbos, right? And whatever it was, he very publicly, very obviously, but without, and not in a not without fanfare, but to the extent that everybody knew that this is how he operated and this is how he behaved, right? The fact that there were red lines and there were things that everybody knew he couldn't do. There were things that he couldn't eat and there were, you know, places that he wouldn't go. People respected that. And that actually was a key plank in his ability to be that bridge builder, right? So this is formulating in the positive what we had, what the Ksav Sofer had said in the negative, right? That when people see that you're observance is just out of convenience, that when your observance is spotty and it's pick and choose, right, then when you specifically pick the things that are seemingly discriminatory, oh, I just won't, you know, I don't work on Shabbos or I don't work on, all of a sudden you're so frum that you don't work on Chol HaMoed, right? People see through that. And if people also see through it, people also see integrity when they, you know, when they encounter integrity, they see that too. And I think that that's, you know, three times in the span of a week, when I was learning, a week and a half, when I was learning before Purim, and when I was learning Daf Yomi, Bava Metzia Daf Lam Beis, and in listening to the Hespedim and reading the Hespedim for Senator Lieberman. And it's really not such a, you know, it's really not such a, Daf Yomi is really, is kind of, that's kind of fortuitous. But the fact that there are parallels between the life of Joe Lieberman and Megillat Esther, you know, just like the comparison with Yosef HaTzadik, we know that Esther is also strongly connected to Yosef. Esther and Yosef are, you know, they share a lot of very similar biographical points, as many have pointed out, right? So it shouldn't come as such a surprise that there are, that there are connections, that there are these connections between the life of Joe Lieberman and the life of, you know, and the story of Purim and the story of Megillat Esther. So this idea, I wanted to share it because it came up in my life three times over the course of a week. It's a powerful idea. Again, I don't think it always works. Unfortunately, even when you do have people who are the most fine and upstanding, you know, people of integrity, people who are fully, you know, committed and observant and anchored in faith, it doesn't always deter our enemies. But it can, you know, think about it like this. In the Megillah, and I think this is an important point, there is going to be Hamans. There are going to be people who are our enemies. There are going to be people who have it in for us. What happens in the Megillah, Haman can't do anything until he rises to power and then manages to convince Ahasuerus to carry out this plan. What we do control, right, and the Ksav Sofer is pointing out, Haman's speech, Haman's Lashon Hara, his Lishna Bisha, as Rava calls it, did resonate with Ahasuerus. Right? Ahasuerus is, I wouldn't necessarily say an impartial audience, but Ahasuerus is an audience, right? He's not, he needs to be persuaded, right? And the question is, do we act in a way, right? If Haman, we need to be in a place where when the Hamans come along and say, Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad bein armi, that the Jews, they keep all these weird observances, but it's not because of any profound conviction or anything. It's just because they despise us, right? They don't drink our wine is because they despise us. They don't marry us. They don't let us marry them. It's because they despise us. You touch their wine, they won't drink it. It's because they despise us. They take off because they took off today. They take off tomorrow. They take off a week at a time. It's because they hold us in contempt, right? Our job, right, the job of a person like, you know, the job of all of us really is to be in, to create a greater sense of, you know, when somebody comes and says, these guys, when they take off on Saturday, they're just doing it because they're lazy and they want to get off of work. They say, no, actually, I once spent a Shabbat with one of them, and that's not what it's about at all. It's not just a day of laziness. They don't sit around, you know, watching TV all day. They don't sit around doing nothing all day. They're in the synagogue for hours, and they're at home, and they have meals, and they're singing, and they're saying, you know, and they're studying. That's what they're taking this day. It's not a day of laziness. It's not a day off. It's a day that's more energetic than many of the other days. Right? When somebody sees that, when somebody sees that we're operating from principle, when we're operate that we're operating from conviction, the Achashverushes of the world will turn to Haman and say, "What are you talking about? I know Jews. They're not like that." Right? And Joe Lieberman was just such a Kiddush Hashem. Somebody was going to come and say to Achashverosh, "This is what the Jews are like." Achashverosh would say, "What are you talking about? I've seen, you know, I've seen Joe Lieberman in the Senate, you know, for the last 20 something years, and that's not what he's like. So that's how I know that what you're saying about the Jews is Lashon Hara. It is Lishna Bisha." And that's something that obviously we don't have, we can't all do it on the scale of a Joe Lieberman, but we can all do it in our own, on our own scale. We can do it in our own lives, to the extent that we encounter others, to the extent that we encounter people outside of our communities, right? To somehow communicate that what we do is something that we do out of conviction. What we do is something that we do because this is our, these are our principles, right? Not because it's something that gets us any gain, not because we're lazy, not because we hold other people in contempt. And I think that that's something very important and powerful that you know, a message that carried through in Megillas Esther, and it carried through in that little one little line in Daf Yomi, and it carried through the entire life and career of Senator Joseph Lieberman, Yizichro Baruch.